Barbadians living outside of Barbados have a story to tell and a perspective to share. We connect with a few of them in a series called Bajans Abroad as we hear about their COVID-19 experiences. Our guest today is Michael Amy, who left Barbados in 1968 to live in England.
I was brought up in Drexel in St. George, and as a young boy in a village running around, I really only knew Drexel. I would occasionally go to Bridgetown, but didn't really travel much further than that. And I went to St. Luke's School, which is also in St. George. But it was only when I grew up and came back to Barbados that I got to know places like Oystins in Spicetown. And I spent a lot of time in the Maxwell Dover area, including, of course, at St. Lawrence Gap. And my favourite beach over there, my favourite beaches are Dover and Miami Beach.
I asked Michael to share with us his COVID-19 experience in the UK.
Right, my COVID-19 experience in England, it was twofold. One, because most of my work was done from the internet and using the telephone, it didn't impact me immediately too much in terms of the constant going out and meeting people. But what it did do is when I had to go out, I was very mindful that thousands, it seemed like about 1,000 a day were dying of this disease. And so you were just that little bit apprehensive of meeting up or getting too close to strangers. You know, as a Christian, I had a certain amount of trust in God, but you still were a little bit concerned because of the number of deaths. And every day on the news and every day the Prime Minister was doing a broadcast and was emphasising what is happening and giving you the statistics. So it was really brought home that this disease is serious. And even to start with, it was something that was distance. But as it went on, more and more people that you knew were contracting the disease. Our daughter had a bad attack, but it wasn't bad enough to be admitted to the hospital. Our senior pastor was bad enough to be admitted to the hospital, and we were very concerned because he had underlying health issues, and we were very concerned that, you know, he would not be with us anymore. So COVID-19 in the UK, with the shutdown, most shops, restaurants are closed, and the fear, because of you're bombarded with COVID-19 every time you turn on the news. There is very little else that you're being told about on the news channels over here.
Michael also has the experience of having someone close to him contract the COVID-19 disease.
I would say that, you know, with COVID-19, when someone that's close to you gets the disease, then you do start to be concerned. If they're young and they're fit, you're less concerned because your understanding is that, you know, they will recover. It's going to have an impact on them, but they'll recover and they should be okay. So one part of me wasn't that concerned about our daughter, but we did have some practical and logistical concerns. She lives a long way away from us, so my wife would think of driving down there, and if she drove down there, then she would be stuck there for a long period of time, you know, minimum of 14 days, because she wouldn't be able to come back from, you know, because she would have to self-isolate and stay for a while before she, you know, my daughter would have to recover, and then my wife would have to wait another 14 days before she would then be able to travel back to join us in London. And with our pastor, you know, he's a very good senior pastor. He's unique in many ways and extremely popular. And he's a very good preacher. So, you know, anything happens to him, it will have a major impact, not just on our church, but on the Fellowship of Churches, which he's the general overseer of. So yes, we prayed, and both in regards to our daughter, she recovered fully and everything is well. My wife did not have to travel down to take care of her. And with our pastor, he's back up and he's recovered, and we're trying to keep him quiet, keep him calm, keep him from getting back to doing too much too quickly.
As part of his work, Michael manages properties in Barbados and books holiday packages for travellers who choose Barbados as their destination.
In terms of my holiday letting business, I've taken some time to build up a portfolio of 50-odd properties that I manage. With the advent of COVID-19, the business has come to an absolute halt. There is no income that you can make from the business at the current moment. Even changes to the law in Barbados, which is similar to over here, which will allow tenants not to have to pay rent for a while, mean that the landlords, the owners, property owners, can't risk letting anyone into their property at this time because they may not pay any rent and they wouldn't be able to evict them very easily either. So, some challenges. I would say, although we've got the challenges at the moment, the biggest challenge is when Barbados reopens for business, will the rest of the world actually be open? And the main concern for me is that this epidemic does not come back in the winter, that it's not like a flu virus, which is going to be more prevalent in the winter season. That's one concern. The other concern is that the owners who have been willing to rent their properties out on a short-term basis will continue to be willing. Some have switched and have gone for long-term rental because things were tough. With the seaweed issue and the sewage issue, they had a big impact on the holiday letting market in Barbados, and it did go down quite considerably. I saw my very limited income cut by over half because of those issues. And of course now it's been cut to zero until Barbados is ready to reopen for business.
And on a broader scale, the impact on the market is obvious, and Michael reflects on this reality.
In terms of business generally, I would just add that a lot of people have lost a lot of income, and in the meantime have had to pay the same water rates and other taxes on the properties. They will be looking to increase their prices. But on the other hand, people have been not allowed to run their businesses. They've not been allowed to work, to go to work. For most people in England, cannot go to work. And businesses have closed down. So there's a big challenge as to where the market is going to come from for people with spare income to be able to afford to come to Barbados. So it's going to be a challenge to kickstart the holiday letting and the holiday business. Some were staying at the five-star hotels, the Sandy Lanes and so on, they will still be okay. But you're looking at the business owners and the middle managers who would have considered self-catering and, you know, the not down market, but, you know, decent hotels. They are going to be, their business may have closed down. Their jobs may have been cut. So it's going to be challenging to get things up and running again in the near future.
Michael has a perspective on the uncertainty of the immediate future of holiday bookings in Barbados.
I would also add, in terms of, you know, getting things back to normal, there are a lot of people who had booked holidays in Barbados. They'd already spent the money. They're very keen to come to Barbados. It's their first time. They've heard all about it and they want to be there. their issue is timing. They don't know when to book their holiday. Barbados might be open, but they're not sure when the airlines are going to be flying to Barbados again. And even more seriously, some of the big airlines like British Airways and Virgin, as a minimum, laying off. How many flights are still going to be going to Barbados is a serious concern. So there's got to be some kind of incentive for everyone in terms of pricing and taxation to get things kick-started.
Like many others, Michael has been doing church differently, but he says it's just not the same.
I think the main issue for us is we've always had church online for people who couldn't make it to the actual church building. But to have it only online, yeah, there's something about live worship, something about saying hello to the brethren, a greeting and hugging people that you haven't seen for a little while, you know, praying with people that you're seeing face to face. It's something about that it's just not the same when you're doing it online. And I do look forward to having live music again and live worship. The preaching actually can be not that different, whether it's online or you're there in person. But for me, the rest of it, yeah, there's nothing like dealing with actual people when we have a church meeting. We did try, but the technology is not quite up to it, to see if we can connect with our church service online and also have the brethren join us on Zoom for our local life group. But with the time delay and the technology, it just didn't work as well as we would have liked it to. And it was just the little things as well. If a preacher is really bringing home a point and people would say amen and hallelujah, it's not the same when you're in your living room and the preacher's preaching and there is no background. It's like the football when they're playing it without a crowd. The impact is totally different. The atmosphere is just totally different. It's not the same. So yes, looking forward to church opening, to us being able to meet up again in a building and also be able to go out to restaurants and have fellowship as well.
We've been hearing from Michael Amey in this edition of Bajans Abroad. He's a Barbadian who lives in London.